The fur bear regulations have been set. Today we're going to visit with fur bear biologist Stephanie Tucker. I'm Mike Anderson with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Stephanie, any changes to the fur bear regulations this year?
Yeah, there are a few changes, Mike, to the fur bear proclamation this year. Probably the most noticeable or noteworthy is our changes to our bobcat trapping and hunting seasons. We haven't allowed harvest of bobcats north or east of the Missouri River for the past 40 years. And so for the first time in just over 40 years, we're expanding bobcat hunting and trapping opportunity to north and east of the Missouri River. And so the open-closed zones are gonna change a little bit for that. We're actually gonna be using US Highway 83 as the dividing line. So we got a zone west of Highway 83 and east of Highway 83. So if you're bobcat hunting or trapping west of US Highway 83, everything stays the same to previous years. Nothing will change. So if you're used to hunting or trapping bobcats south and west of the Missouri River in past years, everything will be the same from previous years. However, for those folks that might want to pursue bobcats east of Highway 83, there is an overall harvest limit of only 8 bobcats in that area. And so we have this bobcat population has primarily expanded into the Pembina Gorge, the Pembina Hills area up in the northeast corner of the state. So the population up there of bobcats is quite a bit smaller than what we have in western North Dakota. And so we have a much more restrictive harvest over there. So the overall harvest limit is 8. It'll be a bag limit of 1 per hunter or trapper, so 1 per person. And then you also, because of that harvest limit, you have to report your harvest within 12 hours. And so if you catch one in a cable device, if you catch one in a trap, or you call wind in, you know, dogs, whatever you choose to pursue that bobcat with, you'll have 12 hours to report that so that we can close the hunting and trapping season appropriately when that harvest limit is met.
Okay. Any other changes this year?
Sure, we do have a slight increase in our river otter trapping season this year. So our harvest limit last year for river otters was 20. We increased that to 25 this year. Everything else for the river otter trapping season stays the same. It's traps or cable devices only. It opens up in late November. It's 1 per person also. And then again, you also have to report that within 12 hours of harvesting it. Over the last several decades, there's been some advancements in some of these modern trapping techniques and modern traps. And so we adjusted some of our placement restrictions this year to accommodate some of these new traps that pretty much eliminate the possibility of non-target capture in them. And so one of those traps is what we call an enclosed foothold trap. So we added a definition to our proclamation that describes an enclosed foothold trap. Some people probably have heard them called dog-proof traps. And so they're usually some sort of cylinder, metal cylinder, plastic cylinder, or box where they're targeting raccoons, and the raccoon actually has to stick their paw in there and either push or pull a trigger on the inside. And so raccoons, because of their physical ability to grab things and pull, are really the only animals that are likely to get captured in enclosed foothold traps. And so over the past couple of decades, we put in the proclamation and our regulations all these placement restrictions for foothold traps to prevent non-target take of dogs. And with these new enclosed foothold traps, they've eliminated the possibility you're gonna catch a dog. And so we've added this definition so we could exempt enclosed foothold traps from those placement restrictions. So if you're using enclosed foothold traps, you don't have to make sure your trap is 2 inches underwater during certain times of year or things like that. You have a little bit more flexibility of where you can place them. And the same goes for floating colony traps. So over the years, we have these placement restrictions for colony traps, that prevent non-target capture of waterfowl or shorebirds. And that particularly pertains to the spring year when all the ducks and geese and things like that start showing back up in North Dakota. You know, we require trappers to place their colony traps completely underwater to prevent non-target take. Well, with these floating colony traps, the entire cage sits above the water, and there's these one-way doors that the muskrats have to push down to get in there. And then once they're in there, the muskrats, you know, have to dive down a hole, you know, which they can't come back out of the water then. And it's just, they totally eliminate the likelihood that you're going to catch any kind of duck or waterfowl or shorebird in those traps. And so, again, we've added a definition to our regulations for floating colony traps, so that we could exempt them from some of those placement restrictions for regular colony traps.
Okay, Steph, let's move on to some of the other fur bear species, probably our most popular, the coyote. How are they doing?
Right, so coyote has been trending downwards the last couple years. You know, If we look back the past decade, we've had some of the best years of coyote populations and coyote hunting that North Dakota has ever seen. And so you just can't maintain that really high level of excellence all the time. You know, wildlife populations fluctuate, and coyotes are an example of that. And so again, this year, our spring surveys indicated that coyotes were trending downward again. So it'll be probably, most people I think can expect a little bit fewer coyotes in their area or their region compared to last year.
Last year, a fair amount of water in the landscape. Of course, we started hitting the drought last summer, fall. How are muskrats doing?
Right, so muskrats, again, very popular fur bearer for trappers in North Dakota. And we cycle in North Dakota, actually. So we have a natural about 10, 11 year population cycle for muskrats. About every 10, 11 years, we have a peak. We go down, we kind of sit down at the bottom a few years and stuff starts taking back up. And that's where we're at right now, where we started to come back out of that bottom and we're trending upwards for muskrats, according to our surveys again. Unfortunately, the drought happened now, and a lot of the muskrats that are taken from one year to the next are young of the year muskrats. And with drought conditions, there's probably not as great a reproduction this summer for muskrats as there would be in a normal year. And so even though they're trending upward, that trend might have been tempered a little bit, you know, by the drought conditions. And so there just might not be quite as many muskrats out there this fall as we were hoping for because of the drought.
Okay, how about mountain lions?
Right, nothing's changed with our mountain lion hunting season. Again, western North Dakota is where most of the mountain lions are taken. That's where our breeding population is. The overall harvest limit for the early and late seasons is still 15. Still the same regulations, one per person like last year. You need to report within 12 hours. So for those people that participate in that, nothing has changed from last year.
Okay, Steph, we a couple years ago opened the Fisher season to pretty much statewide except for two zones.
Right, we have two counties that are closed in the Turtle Mountains for fishers, and the reason we don't allow trapping of fishers in the Turtle Mountains is to protect our small American Martin population up there. And so until we get a better handle on what's going on with American Martin there, you know, we don't allow fisher trapping up there because you're likely to catch a Martin if you're targeting fishers as well. And so, but again, statewide still, even after we expanded trapping of fishers statewide a few years ago, most of the harvest is still in that eastern third of the state where our core breeding population of fishers resides. And you know, the harvest it's been pretty steady. If not, it was a little bit down last year from previous years. And so, there's anywhere from about 20 to 30 fishers on an average year taken in North Dakota.
Okay, let's talk about regulations on wildlife management areas and plots land.
Right, so, you know, whenever you're setting traps on wildlife management areas, we just like to remind trappers that they have to have their equipment marked with a tag. So it has to have an equipment tag, which includes their name, address and telephone number, or their equipment registration number. And so remember that if you're trapping on wildlife management areas. The other thing to remember with wildlife management areas is that you're not allowed to set cable devices or snares until after the upland game season's closed, because they are heavily used by our upland game hunters, and a lot of those hunters are hunting with dogs. And so we don't wanna have capture of dogs in those cable devices. That being said, our plots land, on the other hand, while it's been leased by our department for walk-in hunting, it is not leased for trapping. So it is not open to trapping. You cannot trap on plots lands without written permission from the landowner, just like any other private land. And so while you can trap on plots lands during our upland game seasons, you know, we really wanna encourage the trappers to discuss that with the landowners, if they get written permission from the landowner to trap that plots land, about how much activity it's getting and how many people are out there with their dogs and things like that, and take extra precautions to prevent capture of people's dogs while they're hunting on that plots land as well. Because you won't know whether a hunter is out there or not, so the trapper's got to keep that in mind before trapping on those lands.
Steph, we have an online form to report fur bears.
Right, we have a lot of fur bearers that we really rely on the public and their sightings to help us keep track of not only distribution, but sometimes, you know, population increases or decreases of those fur bearers. Fur bearers that are much more difficult to survey than say like deer or waterfowl. You can't just drive around and expect to see them. And so this is especially useful, you know, with black bears. Every year there's a handful of black bears roaming around North Dakota. You can report that on the online system. Snap a picture with your cell phone. You can include up the copy of the picture when you fill out the online reporting form. So that goes a long way in confirming that report. But any of those fur bearers that are difficult to survey are less common in North Dakota. Things like fishers, river otters, American Martin, mountain lions, bobcats, you know, just go ahead. You can report any and all of that on our website and give the department a hand in keeping track of some of those distributions.
At gf.nd.gov.
Right.
A lot of great information, Steph. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.